for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 2nd, 2001. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Talk to you about the fruit of rejection, what you could expect in your life if you'd had rejection or abandonment. Can y'all hear me? Am I on, Glenn? Okay. Let's all stand and pray then. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord, just we thank you, Lord God. We come to you now to open your word, Lord God, to learn, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, to anoint the word. Let it go down into our hearts, Lord, and bear your crop 30, 60, or 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bind the spirits of slumber. We bind the spirits of inattentiveness and slumber in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we loosen your spirit, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we loosen the Holy Spirit now, Lord God, of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might to come into this place, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We just bind up all these demons that have been cast out. And we just ask you to get the angels to come and get them and carry them off wherever you want them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Get them off the property. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and bless you and glorify you. And all God's folks said,
amen.
Amen. Now, I want to show you a concept, Tim. This is not... Can y'all see that? To stay free, you need to stay out of sin. Because sin opens the door to let him back in. I want you to see that sin is personal. It comes from within you, and it's called the flesh. Now, James 1:14 says there that... let's read that. I have a much more elaborate design of this. This shows you the unsaved and the saved person, the wing of God and so forth, but this is just a stick man. 1:14 says, I'm on 1 Timothy, that won't do. James 1:14. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. That comes from within you. And when desire, or lust, has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings death. What does that mean? That means when you have the desire rise up within your flesh and it entices you, and you feel the enticement, and then your soul, your intellect considers it, and you say, oh, yes, that'd be nice to have. That'd look real pretty. That'd be real nice to have. That'll do fine. And you say, and then your will says, yeah, I'll take that. And your emotions say, oh, man, yeah. And so your soul accepts it. And so the desire has been impregnated by your soul's acceptance. It conceives, and it gives birth to sin comes forth. And that birth, that sin, sits there and it grows, just like a baby. It takes 9 months for a baby to get him. Now, some sins take longer than others to be full-blown conceived, and suddenly you say, my God, what has happened to me? My gosh! Well, it was conceived 9 months ago, and it's been growing all this time, and it brings forth the spiritual death in that area. And so sin is personal in that it starts from within the flesh, in James, and it grows from within you. Now, sin is twofold. First is the sin of the flesh, and then the other is the self of the flesh. The sin of the flesh you reckon dead. The self of the flesh you crucify every day. Now, sin can be from without. The social sin. And I have a little drawing, and it shows the world over here, and it's got a nice new car, and it's got money, and it's got music, and it's got a picture of the kiss, you know. It's a picture of lust, of sexual desire, of sexual temptation. And 1 John 2:15 says, the lust of the, for all that is in the world. Let's look at 1 John 2 there. 1 John 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I asked the Lord once, you know, I said, why, Lord, do some people have such a hard time receiving the unconditional love of the Father? I said, some people just can't receive unconditional love. Why is that? And he gave me this verse. They love the world. You know, you can't serve two masters. You either love the one, hate the other. He said, you can't serve mammon and God. Everybody translates mammon as money, but mammon in the Greek really means that which you put your trust in. What you put your trust in? Well, most folks put their trust in the almighty dollar bill. Praise God. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. For the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father will abide forever. If you love the world and you succumb to social sin, then that will speak death to you in that area of your life. Now you've got up here, you've got sin is supernatural from above. Now I have another one that says evil supernaturalism. It shows a bunch of demons staring down at you. And that's Ephesians 6:12. Let's look and see what Ephesians 6:12 says. And Galatians, Ephesians. Okay. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, most folks think if they got a demon, they want to get this big cannon and shoot over the hill and hit him over yonder someplace. Or telescopic sights, you know. But Paul here says, you wrestle. Now, that's pretty close. I used to be on the wrestling team. Not only was it did you get in real close contact with your opponent, I mean real close, it took every muscle in your body to fight him. It wasn't just a sort of touch and go. It wasn't a touch and you go. It's a wrestling match against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, those are evil principalities. Those are evil supernaturalism that can affect you. And it can affect you in a number of ways. It can affect you through soul ties over here. It can affect you through soul ties over here. It can send demons down to whisper in your ear. It can send demons over here to manipulate circumstances to put you into temptation. It can just do all sorts. Nothing in this world happens by accident. Everything is pre-planned by someone. So that is spiritual warfare. That's just an interesting concept, and I just wanted to show it to you, to sort of let you see that you're fighting on three fronts. You're fighting the flesh within, self. You're fighting the sin that comes out of your contact with the world. And Jesus said, I pray, Father, that you do not take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. And where's the evil one? He's up here somewhere. And he is affecting this world system over him because it lies in his lap. 1 John 5 says the whole world system lies in the lap under the sway of the evil one. And so he's affecting this system, and they're always trying to figure out a way to bring about your fall. And they're also trying to figure out a way over him so that they can get your flesh or self to rise up in conjunction with the social that you're being exposed to. And the evil supernaturalism will be manifesting that. It can be up here, it can be whispering in your ear, or it can be inside. It's come in through curses. It's come in. That was a very interesting concept. I borrowed it out of a book called Spiritual Warfare. It is not original with me. But God witnessed it to my spirit, and so I have thought about it. I have enlarged on it a great deal, but I just wanted to present it to you. You have to realize that so much of the stuff that we teach in deliverance, we get from one another. God very seldom gives all the revelation to one person. And when I speak, I share, other ministers take what I say, and they share it, and they say, and I take what they say and share it, and so forth. This year I'm going to put it in a book, so I do give him credit for it. It's Spiritual Warfare by Murphy. It's a rather large book. There's some things in it I don't agree with. You have to, like any book, you have to read it, see whether it agrees with the word or not, and you have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Somebody bought me a manual yesterday from someone. It was a very nice manual. I thought it was fairly good. The only trouble is it only dealt with the leaves and the branches. You know, the leaves and the branches. Fear is just a leaf or a branch on your tree. It is not the root. Now, fear is a big, big one. It is down close to the root, but it ain't the root. It's not the root. And so when you go after spiritual warfare, you want to go after the root. And sometimes you don't get the root out the first time. And you keep trimming after him until you get him exposed. You clear all the brush out to find that big tree. And then you want to get the root out. And I personally believe that most of the time the root is either rejection or abandonment. Because rejection is your heritage. It's your heritage from your father, Adam. Before you were saved, rejection was your heritage. After you were saved, God said, I did not give you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I gave you a spirit of adoption, where we're a Abba Father. So you are no longer a rejected child, you are a redeemed child, an adopted child. You have a new family, a new father, a new family, and you are members of the kingdom of God. Now, when I teach spiritual warfare, I have a series of 15 hour and a half lectures, before I really get down to talking about the names of demons. And most of these are designed to tell you who you are. Who are you? You're a child of God. You know, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. You don't get to vote. God doesn't go by majority rule. God is an absolute monarch. His word is law. His judgment is final. There is no appeal. You can't say, okay, Father, let's talk about this. I don't like this. You can say that, but you're not going to change him. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. I read that to you yesterday. I am the Lord, I do not change. It's in Numbers. I'm not a man that I should change my mind or repent. But the good news is, you're his children. And he has delegated to you all the authority over all the power of the enemy. And he's given you, and he has given you this authority, and with the authority goes the authority to command the mightiest army in the universe, the angels. Because the angels make the demons obey the rules, as God set up. God has certain rules. You know, the family has to have rules. If there are no rules, there's chaos, anarchy. And so God has rules. He set up for the family. You abide by the rules. Come into him, know who you are, how much he loves you, what your position is, and the rules are not hard to keep. Because all they got to do is love everybody. That's all. And let his love flow. You don't have to do it. You just have to let his love flow through you. Because you can't do it yourself. And so we're going to talk today about rejection. Now, we talked yesterday. We said that reject is to refuse to take, to refuse to agree to, accede, use, or believe. It means to discard, throw away as worthless, useless, substandard, or cast out. You know, you reject something as substandard. To rebuff, especially deny acceptance, to love, to care, or to abandon. And it's the last one we're going to talk about. Most of us have, at some time or other, refused. First, we've refused to take or agree that we want our own way. And so we reject God. And that's what happened in the beginning. Okay, let's look at rejection as our birthright before salvation. Let's look at Ezekiel. I don't know if we went through this yesterday or not, but let's look at Ezekiel 16, chapter 1, verse 1. When you get Ezekiel, keep your finger there and turn over to Revelation chapter 21. You got, everybody got Ezekiel, now turn over to Revelation chapter 21 and look at verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then look at verse 9. Then one of the angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, ascending out of heaven from God. Now, if you follow those verses, you will see that the New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. You are members of the bride of Christ. You all buy that. Do you know that? Does everybody in here know that they are the bride of Christ? Does anybody have any doubts about that? Here it says that the New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. You remember Paul said there were two Jerusalems. Okay. Let's go back over here to Ezekiel now. He says, "Again, the word of God came to me, saying, Jerusalem, said, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity from the land of Cana." Cana means rejected or despised. "Your father was an Amorite," that's pride, "and your mother was a Hittite," that's terror. And so your birthright, before you were saved, was to be rejected and despised. Your father having pride, your mother being terrorized. Those were the two things that you had that came down. And the feeling of being rejected and abandoned. "As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor swathed in swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were low the day you were born." Now, that's utter rejection. I can't think of anything more rejected than that. You were utterly rejected. But what does it say here? "And when I passed by and I saw you struggling in your blood, I said to you, but live. Yes, I said to you, live." That is the day that Jesus Christ passed by you before the foundation of the earth and chose you. You were elected, chosen as a member of the body of Christ by his foreknowledge before the foundation of the earth. I can show you that four places in the Bible. Does anybody have any problem with that? That you were a chosen generation. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth. By Jesus. He said, "I choose you. You live. You have life. And I made you thrive like a plant in the field. You grew, matured, became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed. Your hair grew. You were naked and bare. When I passed by again and I looked at you, it was a time for love. So I spread my wing over you," or covered you with a corner of my garment, "to cover your nakedness. And I swore an oath to you, entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine." That's the day you were saved. Until that time, you were naked. You had no covering. And he came to you, and he spread his wing over you, or the corner of his garment. Now, the most beautiful picture I know of the prodigal son was I saw a screen class under in a Greek Orthodox church, and it showed the father as a Oriental potentate with big flowing robes, and he wrapped his robe around the prodigal. He came out beyond the village. He saw him coming. He was waiting on him. He saw him coming. He came out. He met him, and he put his robe around him and walked him back through the village, covered with his robe. So the boy wouldn't have the shame of walking naked through the village. I was that prodigal. I don't know about y'all. But my Lord Jesus Christ covered me with his robe, and he walked me back, and he took me after I had been a wastrel and wasted my life. He welcomed me back into my Father's house. And I was the prodigal son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But he covered you with his robe. He covered you. Now, where else do we find someone who became naked? Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Now, in the Garden of Eve, Adam and Eve were in free fellowship with God. Now, the serpent, if you look at Revelations 12:8, it says, that serpent of old, the devil, mark down Revelation 12:8, deceived Eve. She rejected God's instructions, rebelled, and her mate, Adam, wasn't deceived. That's 1 Timothy 2:14. He joined her in the rebellion. The deception in Genesis 3:6 is still the same today. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now let's look at Genesis 3:6. The woman, start back with 2. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it. You shall not touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And what did the serpent say to her? Said Eve, God doesn't really love you. He's withheld his best from you. You know, that tree over there, he knows that when you eat of that, you're going to be as smart as he is. And therefore, he won't let you have that. He doesn't love you that much. He wants to keep you pushed down and subjected to him. And he knows when you eat that. And so the woman saw the tree. It was good for food. All right, it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eye. Desirable to make one wise. The lust of the flesh. And she ate and gave, she took the fruit and ate and gave it to her husband. The pride of life. Because it would make her wise. It was good for food. Pleasant to the eyes, and it would make her wise. And so you got the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When the eyes of both of them were opened, they knew they were naked. And they sewed leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, most of people, you will see that they covered their sexual parts. But the Bible doesn't say that. Now, most we know that man was created in the image and likeness of God. We see that in Genesis 1:21. Now let's look at Psalm 104, verse 2. And starting with verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you're great. You're clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment, and you stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Now, most Bible commentators will agree that Adam and Eve were covered with light. They had a covering of light just like God. Where else do we find anyone that was covered by light? On the Mount of Transfiguration, the two men who stood with Jesus shone in the light. Moses, when he went and stood in the light of God, he came out, his face was so shining, he put a veil over his face. Most commentators believe, and so when they sinned, the covering disappeared. They knew, they looked and the light was gone. They knew that they were naked. And so they made a covering, I think, for their soul, out of fig leaves. Now, let's go on here. They heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the trees. And God said, where are you? Verse 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and I hid you, myself. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And who told you you were naked? And so forth. Now, and then the blame game began. Eve, I want you to get this now. Eve rejected the word of God. The devil said, has God, or first, devil told her that God had rejected her. He didn't love her that much. He'd held his best back. And so rejection came into Eve. Then she rejected the word of God by an outward sign of rebelling. And so the inward sign coming in is rejection. The outward sign going out is rebellion. Do y'all see that? And fear came in when rejection came in. They became in bondage to fear. Now remember I quoted to you Romans 8:15. It says, I did not give you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I gave you a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So mankind was in bondage to fear. Fear came in. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. Okay, let's look at verse 14 first. Get the context. Insomuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those, that's us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For he does not give aid to angels, but he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. So, mankind, accepting the spirit of rejection that came in, they put themselves in bondage to fear. Now, there can be fear of rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear. And that fear will motivate them. It's a spirit of abandonment. If nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, something terrible is going to happen to me. And fear is the thing that drives the neurosis machinery of the psychiatric industry. Fear. Anxiety is fear. Okay? And you came in bondage to it when Eve allowed rejection to come in. And Adam. Both Adam and Eve. Okay. And so what did God do? They'd made a covering of leaves. But in 3:21, God shed the first blood that is shed in the Bible. He made Adam and Eve, and for Adam and Eve, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. He began the sacrificial system that was later codified in Leviticus, that an innocent animal would be slain for man's sin, to cover his sin. Y'all see that? All the way through Leviticus. If you sinned, you brought an innocent lamb in. And you confessed the sin over the head of the lamb. Then they killed the lamb, took its blood, and poured it out on the altar as a sin offering, and burned the body. And this continued until the Lamb of God came. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when he shed his blood, once for all, for the remission of your sin. That all that might believe, that who would believe on his name, should become children of God. Not born to blood. Not born to the flesh. Not born to the lust of the husband, but of God. You became a new creature in Christ. Not born any way that is usually born. Your child is usually born. You are a miracle child like Isaac. You became a new child. Not subject to death, not subject to fear, but in the image. Now, Adam begat Seth. He begat Cain and Abel. You know what happened to Cain and Abel. And then he begat Seth. Now let's look in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his image and named him Seth. Now, Adam was created in the likeness and image of God, but he lost the covering through sin. And so his descendants are created in the likeness and image of the fallen Adam, the first Adam. And your heritage from then on is rejection. That's your birthright. Rejection on one hand, rebellion on the other. And that is the root. I talked about all the trees and the leaves. The root is rejection. Now, demons can come in other ways. But you have to go after rejection if you're going to get the root out to help people. You can chop the limbs off and you can chop off the trees and the branches. But you got to get rejection out. You got to get that heritage out. Because we all get rejected and we foolishly accept it back into us. Nobody in here has not ever been rejected or ever not been felt abandoned at some time. And if you accept that into you, it can come down into you. And it will bring in fear. And I talked about all the symptoms that you could have. You need to, if you didn't hear that, you get the tape. I'm not going to go into all of that. But I just want to show it to you in the Bible. I studied this and nobody ever showed me anything in the Bible as to where it was in the Bible. I don't teach stuff unless I can find it in the Bible. So I spent 5 years, 10 years, praying and asking God to show me. He eventually opened this to me. I've never read this anyplace else. And I heard Frank Tamman's testimony. He touched on it. Okay. How are we covered today? Before the cross and the mercy seat, covered by the wings of the cherubim. Okay. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, we are covered by the wings. We ask God to cover us with His wings. Let's look in Psalm 91. Look at Psalm 91. I'm following a printed outline up here, but I've gotten so far away from it I can't find my place on it anymore. Psalm 91, He who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or spend the night on the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I will trust. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowls and the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under your His wings you shall take refuge. Okay. Now look at Psalm 57:1. Psalm 57:1 says, Be merciful, O God, be merciful, my soul trust in you. Under the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed me by. Psalm 17:8 says the same thing. And David foresees that God will shelter his people under his wings. Now Ruth asked Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, a type of Jesus Christ, to take her under his wing. Let's look at Ruth 3:8. Now it happened at midnight, the man was startled. And turning himself, there was a woman lying at his feet. He said, Who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a redeemer kinsman. Now what does that mean, a redeemer kinsman? Under Hebrew law, if you manage your business so poor that you fell into debt, and lost everything, and wound up having to be sold as a slave to pay your bills. Your relatives were obligated under the godel to redeem you if they could. The relative who had the ability was obligated under the law to redeem you. The only relative that you have who's able to redeem you is Jesus Christ. He is your kinsman redeemer because you, if you look at Luke chapter 4 and follow his genealogy, you will see he goes all the way back to Seth just like you did. Therefore, he became your redeemer kinsman, and he redeemed you by the blood. He paid the price for your sin. Now, your obligation unto him is that He adopted you into the family, and he becomes your elder brother. And under the Oriental household, you are subject to him. He is your big brother. He is the boss. He represents the father. He is the boss. He runs the plantation called the Kingdom of God. And like I said, it's not a democracy. They got certain rules, otherwise they have chaos. But you're a child of the living God. Like Joseph, you wear the long sleeve coat. Like the daughters of David, you wear the virgin, you wear the long robes, the virgin daughters of the king. And when you walk down the street, all the other inhabitants get down on their knees. They bow when you walk by. Because you've got an army of angels around you to protect you if you walk in the covenant. Because he's put his wing over you. And not the enemy cannot hurt you. Okay? Y'all buy that? Okay. Do you see the picture of rejection? How rejection comes in. Now, if you look back at Ezekiel 16 again, you will see that when he came by and it was a time for love, he covered you with his wing. He made a covenant with you, the new covenant, and you became his because he bought you back. He paid the price for your redemption, and you became his little brother, little sister. The nice thing about that is you got a big brother who will chase the bullies off. You know, when I was a little kid on the school ground, I was always little, you know, and I got picked on because I was a year ahead, and I made friends with some swamp rats. They were big boys, and they liked me for some reason, and when anybody did anything, I went and told Jimmy McLemore. And I tell you, that person never bothered me again when Jimmy got through with him. And after a while, it didn't take but that but once or twice. Now, Jimmy got sent home because he whooped that boy so bad. He had to stay out of school for a little bit, but he didn't care. And he came back, and we were all poor, you know, church mice, but Jimmy just liked me. And Uncle Alva, you know, he was one of Uncle Alva's friend's sons. And after a couple times, nobody ever bothered me because if they knew if they did, they had to reckon with Jimmy McLemore. And nobody wanted to fool with Jimmy McLemore. And that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. If them demons reckon with you, mess with you, they got to reckon with Jesus Christ. As long as you stay out of sin. And so, you walk under his wing. Now, what happens if we reject God's covenant? The problem is, of course, you know, we get to moving along, you know, and we say, you know, we can do this thing. Boy, this is just so nice. And the Holy Spirit says, I know the way. He said, well, that's all right. I got this map here. You know, I think I can find my way, you know. Yeah. That looks like that's a good one. Oh, yeah, man, that'll be fine. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 30. Here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. It says, woe to the rebellious children. Now, in the Old Testament, you see something says, woe. That is not a good word. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, who devise a covering. Some of the newer translations say plans, but not of my spirit. The Hebrew there says to weave a spider's web. Elsewhere, it talks about covering yourself with the spider's web over in chapter 50 to try to keep warm. And so what you've done is you've moved out from under the wing that ain't got no holes in it, and you got a spider's web over you. Got holes in it. And you're walking along there under your spider's web that you derived by going down to Egypt, that's the world, and taking advice from Pharaoh, that's the devil. Therefore, the wisdom of the world, let's see, how does it say it? Okay. All right. You trust in the shadow of Egypt, and therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. And so you walk in under that thing, and the devil is up there, you know, and that demon's up there, and he sees you, and he takes this big, long spear and sticks it down through one of them holes and wounds you. Yo! And you go back over here and get back up under the wing and, and you confess your sin. Lord, I don't know why I got out there like that. Lord, oh, God,
Now I lost half my money, Lord. I just, people hurt me and they stole everything, Lord.
Yes, I'll heal you. And so you confess, and God will heal you. He says, now stay under the wing. But you go along, you know, and you get a little greedy. You know, I need to make that money back. God says, no, you don't need to do that. Well, yeah, I think if I get this over here, and you just get back out there, and the first thing you know, yeah! Oh, God got me again. Okay. Y'all get the idea of what I'm trying to say. You need to stay under the wing. And you stay under the wing by not making your own plans, but following God's plans. Now, how do you know that you walked out from under the wing? Fear comes back. You begin to get anxious. You don't sleep as well. You're out there in that world system, and suddenly you're not sleeping quite as well as you should. And suddenly, you know, you're fearful. And you find yourself praying a whole lot. Oh, God, bless this. Bless it, Lord. Bless it. It's all for your glory, Lord. You know I'm going to use this money to forward your kingdom, Lord. I'm going to tithe on it. I'm going to give it all to you, Lord. Just, oh, God, get me out of this mess, you know. And you know how much God's going to put into that? God will not empower your flesh, you know. What's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the spirit is spirit. And it's the spirit giveth life, and the flesh bringeth death. And the works of the flesh are enmity to God and cannot please him. So he will not empower that flesh. Now you come back. God will work it out. He'll get you out of trouble. He'll protect you. I remember when I got divorced, I owed a lot of money. I'd been foolish, and I'd wasted, been a wastrel. And I'd working, had all these debts, and I was praying, and I said, God, what am I going to do about all these debts? And he spoke to me in the sweetest little voice. He says, you're going to work and pay them. I didn't want to hear that. Well, work and pay them. Well, I did. 10 years. 20% interest at the time. Okay. So, if you move away from the wing, devising your own plan, look at Deuteronomy 11. Now, this is foreshown in Deuteronomy. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting with verse 10. For the land which you go to possess, talking about the promised land, is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot. What does that mean? It means you stood on the treadmill and pull water up out of Egypt, out of the Nile, and spread it over the fields. You did this through your own effort as a businessman. But the land in which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water, the rain from heaven. A land which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end. And it shall be, if you diligently obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and soul, I'll give you rain on your land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain, that you may gather your grain, your new wine, your oil. And I'll send grass in your fields for your livestock, that there you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens, and there be no rain. What God has said is he's taken you out of the world where you have moved by your own volition. And you have moved, and you've made the plans. And he's moving you over to a land where you're dependent on him to water your crop, to be in his will, his plans, his will. And when you're in his will and his plans, he'll rain on the crops and you will get produce. But if you get out of his will, he won't rain. And then you're going to be in a desert. And that's the type and shadow of where we are today, that you are to follow the Lord your God and be obedient to him in all things. Now, let's look at Proverbs, one other place, Proverbs 17:11. And I want to speak a little bit about the false counselor. Proverbs 17:11 says, a evil man seeks only rebellion, Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him.
That word,
cruel messenger, means evil angel. It is the same Hebrew word spoken of when Saul, when a distressing spirit from God came on Saul. I talked about this yesterday when I talked about the oath, about speaking. But it's the same word that a distressing angel talks about. It's talks about in Abimelech, God sent an evil spirit. A spirit of ill will, I think it was called, back in Judges. But it's all the same word. It's an evil angel that is sent forth. Now remember this, that nothing happens in the supernatural world without God's permission. Not a dog will howl or a person will lift a foot without God's permission. There's times when you haven't sinned at all, but the devil will ask permission to sift you. Did he not ask permission in John to sift the apostles? He said, the devil has asked permission to sift all of you. But Peter, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And so when you have turned, strengthen your brothers. That's a true rendering of it. Because if you read the old King James, you'll see that the says the second person singular and plural, but they've taken that out in the new translations. But if you read it in the New Living Bible, that's the way it's rendered, and that's a true rendering of it. All the apostles were sifted. Devil asked permission to sift them. God let him sift them. Them sift Joe. So you might get sifted sometime. Don't ask me why. It just happens. But he will strengthen you. He will not. He says he will not allow you to be pressed beyond your ability to stand without giving you a way out. That's the good news. And so an evil messenger. So when you come into rebellion, an evil angel is stood against you. And this angel will whisper in your ear. And lots of people who stay rebellious develop a friendship with this evil angel. And he's called the counselor. False counselor, or the false comforter. And a lot of them will begin to think he's the Holy Spirit. You ever talk to somebody and sit down and explain an error to them they were in, and they'd sit there and agree and say, yeah, that's right. And they'd go there and sit down, and 30 minutes later they'd come back and have all kind of arguments. They've had the false counselor talking to them. This evil angel has whispered in their ear. Has whispered these thoughts in their ear. Yeah, why not think of that for now? And just remember this, when a thought comes up in your mind, you didn't think of it of your own volition. You was the furthest thing from your mind. The Holy Spirit didn't bring it up. Well, God wouldn't bring that up. Then there's only one other source, and that's the evil one. And so you should sift every thought. And if it's the evil one, you say, I bind you, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Quit trying to get me upset. I bind you, command you to be gone. And that's when you bind everything. And the angels will lock that thing up and haul him off. Now, if you're staying in rebellion, you've got a right to be there. Now, you can bind him. But if you've got a right to be there, because you're staying in rebellion of your own willful disobedience, that's different. Okay? So you need to seek God's face in all you do. Hebrew term is used in 1 Samuel 16:14, Psalm 78:49, Judges 9:23. They all indicate an evil angel from God. And in the Psalms, that's talking about the death angel going through Egypt. And so today I say to you that rejection, I just wanted to bring to you the scriptural basis for rejection. I get Pigs in the Parlor and read Frank Hammond's description of the schizophrenic revelation. Schizophrenia just means two souls. Which means a dividing of the soul. And if you stay in rejection and you stay in fantasy, Lots of people live in fantasy, you know. It's more comfortable. It's easier to sit and fantasize than it is to face reality. And so if they get to where they don't believe, they get to where they believe the fantasy, and it will divide, it will split their soul. And it's called schizophrenia. And the spirit of schizophrenia can come into you and reinforce that. And the more that pattern is enforced and enforced, and after a while, you can get somebody, you can deliver somebody out of schizophrenia. But it takes, it's not a one-session deal. It takes several years. And they have to have somebody they're accountable to, that they can be accountable to. And to stand and to go to them and be accountable and pray for them and to cast more of these spirits out of them, because there's a lot of them in there, and they, God will give you just as much deliverance as you can walk in. Everybody comes and says, well, have I been completely delivered? I said, you've got as much deliverance as you can walk in. You walk out the deliverance God's given you. Don't fall in sin. Don't accept those spirits back. And you walk it out, stay out of sin, and come back in 6 months, and we'll pray again, and we will cast another bunch out of you. Well, I want them all out. They don't work that way. Now, I have seen people that I remember, Brother McCoy, Mac McCoy. Mac got delivered from, he got delivered from drinking, from smoking, from cussing, from whoredom, all in one session when he got saved. I mean, he was an alcoholic, smoked 3 packs a day, cursed like a sailor, got saved, spoke another cigarette, didn't drink another drop, became an evangelist, and he had his wife, and he had gotten into an argument, and the gun went off accidentally and killed her, and he was convicted of second-degree manslaughter and sentenced to 5 years in jail. And while he was in jail, he got saved. And he was out on, while he was waiting for sentencing, he was out on parole for 6 months and became such an exemplary Christian. When they sentenced him 5 years, the public rose up in anger. And he sent him down and he started a Bible study and converted a half of Lansing. And came back and I praised God for him. He had a positive effect on my life. But he got delivered in once when he got sentenced. And, you know, there are not many like that, but you hear people like that. I knew Brother Mac. And he's gone to be with the Lord now, when he was 95 years old. I think we all stand up now, and let's hold up our hands and say, Dear Lord,
I believe
Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was resurrected from the dead for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I have been adopted into the family of God. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I am not a rejected child. I am a child of God. I bind the spirit of rejection, spirit of abandonment, spirit of rebellion, spirit of stubbornness and witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, I reject my birthright of rejection, of fear and terror, of pride and stubbornness, of rebellion, of witchcraft. I reject these and all their sordid demons. I bind them. I want them out of my life. I break the curse of rejection in my family. Of whoredom, of immorality, of idolatry, of the vagabond, of poverty, and all other curses have come down through the sins of my ancestors. I hold up the sins of my ancestors and my sins. I cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. I declare these curses are broken on me and my children forever, back 10 generations, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, used me or abused me. I ask you to bring them to salvation, Lord. I break all ungodly soul ties to anyone, living or dead, who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break any ungodly soul ties to any of my dead relatives, dead spouses, dead children. In the name of Jesus, I call back my soul. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You said you would restore my soul. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody sit down now. In the name of Jesus, I just bind the spirits of abandonment and rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind abandonment, rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. Fear. You leave God's people. Fear. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough. I just bind you. I bind all anxiety and fear in the name of Jesus. Fear of death, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all death spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. I just bind you and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution in Jesus' name. I break the spirit, the power of fear in Jesus' name. I bind all the fantasy spirits now. I bind all fantasy spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all fantasy, all lust spirits, all fantasy spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all the lust for the eye, the lust of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of visions of glory, visions of grandeur, visions of money, visions of wealth. I bind these things in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of greed in the name of Jesus and poverty, and I break their hold on these people. I bind the spirits of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. Perfectionism, I bind you. Intolerance, impatience, and aggravation, I bind you. In the name of Jesus Christ, anger and rage, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of depression in the name of Jesus, of fear, depression, and death, and suicide in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of rebellion now in the name of Jesus. Rebellion, bitterness, and witchcraft. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind all the spirits of divination. Divination, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone, divination, in the name of Jesus. Go! Divination in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of divination in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of I bind the false counselor spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all familiar spirits in this place. I bind all familiar spirits, all false spirits, all familiar spirits through which someone could manifest supernatural power. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority. I loose you from your assignment, and I command you to be gone. I bind you. I ask angels to haul you away in the name of Jesus. I bind all familiar spirits now in the name of Jesus. I bind all divination and witchcraft and rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull out the root of bitterness now. Bitterness, I just pull you out and command you to go in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness anger, rage, murder, and intolerance, and violence. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord God. Now we pull out bitterness now in the name of Jesus. Pull out the root of bitterness and deep hurt and self-pity in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I pull out all the errors of bitter words that have been spoken in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus. Envy and jealousy and paranoia in the name of Jesus. I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone, paranoia. I bind the spirits of schizophrenia. I bind schizophrenia and command you to leave God's people now. Just leave. I break the hold of witchcraft mind control. Witchcraft mind control, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I just break your power now. Witchcraft mind control, I isolate you from all those spirits. You draw no power or authority from any other spirit. I bind you. I command you to line up, to unlock, line up, and come out in Jesus' name. All witchcraft control now in the name of Jesus. All mind control in the name of Jesus. All instant replay spirits. All lagged memory spirits in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to send out the war angels now and gather up all the soul that's been stolen in the name of Jesus, Lord, and restore the souls. I come against the spirits of ADD in the name of Jesus. I come against spirits of amnesia in the name of Jesus. I come bind the spirits of amnesia and learning disabilities and dyslexia in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of no faith, faith only, no faith. In the name of Jesus, unbelief and doubt I bind. Come out, unbelief and doubt. Won't let people believe the Word of God. Won't let them believe who they are. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind all religious spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of the priestess in the name of Jesus Christ and command it to leave God's people. Go, all of you. All of you spirits now, I bind you. I bind the spirit of the peyote bird. And the thunderbird in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Peyote bird in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone. You can't give strength to the priestess spirit. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to unloosen and come out in Jesus' name. You cannot draw power or authority from each other. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I come against sexual immorality in the name of Jesus Christ, and I bind it, I break its power. I break the power of porneo, porneo. I bind you, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Turn them loose now. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All porneo, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I break your power. You cannot. In the name of Jesus, I bind all the spirits of porneo in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind all the infirmity spirits now. All infirmity spirits in the mind. I break the power of tinnitus in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of tinnitus and dizziness in the name of Jesus. I break the power of labyrinthitis and Meniere syndrome in the name of Jesus. I bind all dizziness in the name of Jesus. And I break your power. I bind you and I command you to be gone. I speak healing to these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go now. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. I praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I just break your power now. Break the power of allergies in the name of Jesus. Of sinus headaches. Of allergies in the name of Jesus. I break the power of conjunctivitis in the name of Jesus. Of glaucoma in the name of Jesus. Of optic atrophy in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ. I break all the power of asthma. Emphysema. Bronchiectasis in the name of Jesus. Pneumonia, bronchitis, come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of lung failure, lung damage, lung cancer in the name of Jesus. Heart attacks, be gone. Heart attacks, myositis, be gone. My algia be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of esophagitis in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of duodenitis, esophagitis, Crohn's disease. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of multiple sclerosis in the name of Jesus. I bind you, diabetes, arthritis, myalgia, in the name of Jesus, fibromyalgia, I bind you and command you to be gone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind cancer now. Cancer of the lung, cancer of the brain, cancer of the cervix, cancer of the uterus, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the pancreas. I bind all cancers. I bind those things and I break their power. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, touch your people. Touch your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody got a disease that didn't call out? Deafness. Bind the spirit of deafness in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, come out of there in the name of Jesus, deafness. Got no right to make the ball of people's ears. In the name of Jesus. All God's folks said?
Amen.
Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Say, dear Father, fill me now with your spirit. The spirit of wisdom, knowledge, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, fill me with your love. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless the food, Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.